2 Corinthians chapter 9. There's no need for me to write to you about the help being sent to God's people in Judea. I know that you're willing to help, and I've boasted of you to those in Macedonia. I've told them that the brothers in Achaia have been ready to help for a year, and your zeal has already provoked many of them to be zealous. But now I'm sending these brothers so that our boasting about you in this matter may not turn out to just be a matter of words. But as I said, you will be ready with your help. But if those from Macedonia should come with me and find that you are not ready, how shameful that would be, not to speak of your shame, for having boasted so much of you. So I thought it was necessary to urge those brothers to go to you ahead of me and to get ready in advance the gift that you promised to make. Then it will be ready when I arrive, and it will show that you give because you want to and not because you have to. So this is the trouble. Paul got a bit obsessed, I think, with this plan of the Gentiles, that's the non-Jewish believers, giving money to the poor Jewish believers in Jerusalem. And so he got, as I say, a bit obsessed with this. And the people in Corinth, the church in Corinth, they said, oh yeah, we'll give for that very enthusiastically. And yet now when it actually came to giving them money, they didn't want to, so it seemed. And so Paul is pressuring them, but then he says, well, I'm not pressuring you because, you know, a gift must be a gift from your free will. So there's lots of contradictions here in what he's saying. I think the point is just get on and be generous to God's service and don't get obsessed with things, especially when it comes to people. Because you end up in these difficult situations like he finds himself in here. So he says, remember that the person who sows just a few seeds is going to have a small crop. But the one who sows many seeds will have a large crop. So the more you sow, the more you'll receive. But you receive it not in this life, because the harvest isn't now. It's when Jesus comes back. So he says, you know, I'm not trying to pressure you, but I mean, that's fairly strong pressure. Each one should give, then, as he has decided. Not with regret, nor out of a sense that I must do this, because God loves a cheerful giver. Now, out of all this, that is the most wonderful thing. God loves a cheerful giver. So we mustn't give because we think, I suppose I ought to, or other people are doing it, so I suppose I should give something. But with joy, absolute joy. And that's quite a challenge. And God is able to give you far more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and much more than enough for every good work. As the scripture says, he gives generously to the needy. His kindness lasts forever. So because God is generous and God is generous to the needy, he will therefore give people the resources that they need so that they can be generous to the needy. But the point is that what we're given is only so that we can give it away. That is God's purpose, that he gives us so that we might give away. And God, who supplies seed to sow and bread to eat, will supply you with all the seed you need and will make it grow and produce a great harvest from your generosity. He'll always make you rich enough to be generous at all times, so that many will thank God for your gifts, which they're going to receive from us. Now, there's a principle that God will always make you rich enough to be generous. Now, he may not be talking necessarily in terms of finance, in terms of cash, money, but you will always have something that you can give to others. And so we mustn't think that the command about being generous is only for rich people. It's for all of us. Because you've all got something that you can give to someone else. And that's really important. You've all got something that you can give to somebody else. And it's a case of being thoughtful. That, oh, she's going to visit them. Oh, well, oh, there's. I bet they would like this. I'll give her that to take to them, or whatever. It's a case of being thoughtful about this principle. And because of the proof which the service of yours brings, many will give glory to God for your obedience to the gospel of Christ which you profess, and for your generosity in sharing with them and all men. And so, with deep gratitude, they will pray for you because of the extraordinary grace God has shown you. So let us thank God for his unspeakable gift. So the whole process of this gives rise to thanks and glory to God all round.